Welcome to the Nifty Gadgets for Family Bikers podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Harkin, a family biker in Washington, D.C., mom of two boys, and founder of the D.C. Family Biking Facebook group. Please enjoy the episode. Hi, Nifty Gadgets for Family Bikers listeners. This is Nicole Harkin, your host. I'm sorry about the delay in the podcast. I've been a little bit under the weather. However, without further delay, you can now listen to Tom Bridge. Tom Bridge is a partner at Technolutionary LLC and producer of the Mac Admins podcast. He lives in Brooklyn, in Washington, D.C., with his wife, Tiffany, son, Charlie, and massive cat, Marco. He'd rather be riding his felt. Hey, Tom, thanks so much for being on Nifty Gadgets for Family Bikers. I'm excited to talk to you about your bike and your family biking. Why don't we jump right in and just tell me what you guys ride?
In our house, we're still kind of developing our family bike collection. Trail bike is the bike that I love to ride. It does not lend itself very well to family biking. It's a, it's a beautiful felt Z65 or Z85. And I love taking that thing out for long rides, but my daily driver is more of a felt Cross City. And it's ancient. I think I've had it for more than a decade now. It's got a variable gear environment. So essentially it's meant for town riding. We had a Thule trailer, until it got stolen from the front porch, even though it was locked up. They managed to cut the spokes, off the wheel and then ran off with our trailer. So we're still figuring out exactly what we're going to do. My wife is looking at a Turn GSD, daily commutes with our son. We got to figure out, what he's going to want to ride with us this spring. So I'm in the market. I've been looking a lot at trailer bikes and also at, something to hook up to, to his next bike, because he outgrew his bike over the winter. We took him down to the park with it the other day, and it was like watching somebody ride like a clown bike. And I'm like, you fit that in the fall. Fun.
How old is he?
Six.
Okay. Yeah. That's, they're just sprouting up then. I had the same thing. My little guy, Otis, six, rides the Womb 3. Mm-hmm. But the same thing, he's starting to look a little bit like a clown bike. And his next bike that we already have is a public bike, which is super cute, but not like the most functional child bike, because it doesn't have handbrakes. It has the old school.
Because that's the other thing, is that right now he doesn't have handbrakes. And so he's doing the coaster brakes, and coaster brakes are not ideal. They've confused him very much. And so we're hoping to make that a change as we go through the next year.
Well, Otis doesn't even understand when I talk to him about the coaster brake. I'm like, just pedal backwards. He's like, I know, I'm just going to fall over.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, because like, that's like my nightmare scenario, right? Is falling over. Right. But for kids, it's like, I did that twice this morning on the way down the stairs. So
yeah, no big deal.
Exactly.
Cool. Well, let me hear about your tips and tricks.
Oh man. Some of it is just getting him excited for the prospect. And, we started doing just riding just through, a little bit in the neighborhood, and we'd walk aside from, we'd pick a place to go to the park. And he'd be like, oh, I want to ride my bike. And of course it's like bucketing down rain, and you're like, oh, not today, my dude. But mostly cause I don't want to get soaked.
Yes.
But, some of it's just figuring out like what he's going to get excited about. And, we're really excited to join the e-assist future this spring. And, my wife's looking at using that for pickups in the afternoon. Because I'm mostly on drop off. I have a very unpredictable job in that I never know where I'm going to be on a given day. And so, since my territory is all the way up to Baltimore and all the way out to Leesburg and all the way out to the Eastern Shore and all the way south to Springfield, I'm a car commuter. And so for the most part, I'm dropping him off in the morning and she's picking him up, and she's going to take advantage of some of the polite drivers that happen around 3 o'clock, as opposed to the mean ones that happen around 5, and take that route for daily commutes with him. So and of course the nice benefit of the Turn GSD is that it'll fit both of us. My wife is 5'0", I'm 6'3", And the idea of a bike that, that'll fit us both and allow us to, you know, easily navigate hills without too much, extra outlay of effort, certainly makes that an incredible option for us, in terms of, commutes across town.
Yeah, I know there are some people out there who think that an electrified bike is cheating, and I just don't feel that way at all. It really has allowed me to go much further on my bike and have a lot more fun.
Exactly.
So I'm not in that camp. I guess I'm not a purist or something.
I'm not either. And, you know, I see so many e-assist bikes out there now. I have got a couple of friends who work downtown, who work like suit and tie jobs, who ride their e-assist every day. And I'm like, I am so jealous of you because you get to do that.
Sure.
They get to have that great fun of actually going out and riding on the streets every day. I'm jealous of that life. I won't say that that I haven't thought about joining them, but at least for the moment, the consulting practice is definitely where I'm at.
Sure. Well, the GSD, I feel like I see more and more of those on the road. And like we have a family at our school, same situation. Dad's tall, mom's, as my sister calls me, fun size. And it really is great because you can really move the seat around a lot. That if I didn't already have my behemoth of a family bike, that I have to say the turn is definitely appealing. So
yeah. So yeah, that's what we're looking at least for the moment. You know, we also looked at the Radwagon and didn't like some of the, you know, didn't like the height adjustments for the Radwagon as opposed to the Turn. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's kind of what's got us excited right now. And you know, Tiff's driving that that environment because it's going to be her daily driver in terms of, you know, bicycle stuff. So you know, I want to be as supportive as I can, and if I can ride it too, awesome. But like, I have two bikes.
Right. I'm well bike. Now, is your wife normally a biker, or is she?
This will be new for us.
Okay.
And that's something that I'm very excited. I grew up in a cycling community. I grew up in Davis, California, and where everybody bikes everywhere for every reason. And there's as much bike parking as there is car parking in a lot of cases, and significant cycling resources. So I'm predisposed by my experience to growing up to be a cyclist. Learning how that works in DC is certainly, it has been an adventure over the last 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, somebody posted in our Facebook group about, how important it is to support WABA and for WABA to support family bikers and to get the, you know, the infrastructure supported.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's some of the work that I've been doing on the Bicycle Advisory Council here in DC has been really kind of holding DDOT's feet to the fire over, you keep saying you want to make things better, but why are you sitting on these projects? And why are they not coming to fruition when you've said, oh, yeah, we totally want to get that done. We totally support Vision Zero, but we're just not going to build you more resources to make you safer.
So do you have an update for us on the MBT? I mean, I feel like that's the
So MBT is there in late construction phase right now. I believe that we finally have an awarded contract, and that's been holding people back, and that'll probably start work up again in the spring. I know that they've moved part of the northern section back out to the street while they get some additional work done. But I don't have the full details there. The one that I'm most excited about personally is the crosstown connector between Ward 5 and Ward 4 along Irving Street. And I don't have an update there. I was told that that project's on the 2020 calendar, but no one seems to have committed to an actual date of construction yet. And we're hopeful to get that at the next back meeting in March. And the other one that we're really kind of hoping to move the needle on is the 6th and 9th Street bike lanes downtown, and which have been held up for however many years because the mayor just doesn't want to see them built.
Okay.
And it's so frustrating because these are safety technologies that, like, if we were talking about a new safety technology in a fire engine or an ambulance or a police car, it'd have been done already. Everybody had been screaming for the high heavens. Why hasn't this been done yet? And I just don't feel like the cycling infrastructure to make people safer is being treated with the same amount of seriousness. And the lip service that's been paid on the Vision Zero front is so frustrating because there are things that we can be doing that have been approved, that have been designed, that are just not getting built. And I just need them to take the gloves off of DDOT to get it done.
Yeah, I have to say, for the listeners who aren't in DC, Vision Zero is our mayor's plan to have zero fatalities, road fatalities. Last year, it failed miserably. There were many road fatalities. And I don't know what the number is already this year.
It's four as it stands. No, six. And, you know, you look at all of that and there were 25 people killed in D.C. on the streets in 2019, which is actually down. It's down. It was down 11 people over 2018. But that represents 12 pedestrians, 8 drivers and passengers, 3 motorcyclists and 2 cyclists who are killed, you know, between, you know, January and December of last year. So it's so hard to see the city just saying, yes, we've done the thing, when, you know, we're as far away from Vision Zero as we've ever been. And, you know, Vision Zero as a language isn't unique to DC. It's also part of the plan in New York City, which has it far worse than we do. And in other cities, it's kind of become an easy shorthand for measures to make our streets safer. But, you know, while we continue to live in a city that caters to only one kind of road user, it is definitely a place to be frustrated.
How did you get involved with the advisory?
So I was appointed to the council by council member Kenyon McDuffie from Ward 5. He asked me if I would be willing to serve because they'd had someone else in the position and they had decided to step back. Cycling's always been a lifetime passion of mine. You know, going back to, I rode my bike to school from, I think, maybe second grade through all of high school, including some, you know, 10-mile round trip commutes when I was a little kid. When I was in junior high school, you know, that was the round trip between my house and school. So, I mean, I've definitely been a cycling advocate. I've been a member of WABA for as long as I can remember. In my business capacity, we do IT consulting for WABA. So I'm very familiar with all of their staff. And so I've advocated for bicycle issues in Ward 5 for as long as I've lived here, which is 10 years in April.
That's great. Well, I would love to hear your favorite family biking memory, if you have one.
Oh, favorite biking memory. And this is actually from my youth and not from Charlie's youth. I love riding with Charlie. He loves it. I think I took him out for the first time when he was maybe 6-7 months old, and we just did a quick tool up the Anacostia Riverfront Trail. But, you know, I remember a lot of rides through the Davis Arboretum with my dad. When I was, you know, 6, 8, 9 years old, and it felt like we would ride forever. And sometimes I'd ride in the trailer behind his bike, and sometimes I'd ride my bike alongside of him. But, you know, I just remember going out and riding my bike with him and just, you know, remember, you know, doing some of the fun hills around the Arboretum in Davis. It's something that I think every kid should do is have a great bike ride story. You know, we're definitely going to be encouraging that with Charlie as he gets older.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, it's just such a sense of freedom. You can just go there on your own.
That's right. And you can get there and you can get there safely and you can have some autonomy without having to worry about, you know, Lyft driver or, you know, walking everywhere, getting stuck on Metro. It becomes a part of your transportation arsenal, and your toolkit. And that's the exciting part because, you know, there are so many great ways to get around DC that don't involve a car. And, you know, we have the Metro, we have buses, we have streetcars even for whoever knows how long. But we also have, you know, bike share, and we also have jump bikes and the Hellbiz bikes that are newly here on the streets of DC. And I feel like if, you know, one of the things I've been trying to do in my consulting practice is park somewhere downtown for the day and use a bike to get every place else. And I've been successful about doing that a couple of times over the last month. And a part of me is like, how do I make this my daily strategy where I can start to rock out with the bike shares through downtown and, you know, meet all my client needs. So that's my exploration for the springtime.
That's awesome. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to tell us?
I think that's about it. Awesome. For those folks who want to get involved in their community and do more for bike safety in their community, a lot of metropolitan areas have a bicycle advisory council. And hardly, you know, I think about at least in DC, I think we're always one short. at least one short. And usually it's just somebody who has left their ward or is left the, you know, leaving the area. There are always seats available for you on these public commissions that provide connectivity advice to the council and the mayor of whatever jurisdiction you're in. I know that most of the metro areas around, or most of the jurisdictions around DC have those kind of bodies. Serve on those bodies. It's an incredible education. And even if you don't know anything about policy, it's a great place to go learn and ask questions, especially of your public officials who are saying, hey, we can't do this because of X. Well, and you can actually be there in front of the director of the Department of Transportation of the district, for example, and say, hey, why aren't you doing this in specific? And then they have to respond to your questions, which is delightful.
Democracy in action.
Yes.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thanks so much. We really appreciate having you on.
Thanks so much, Nicole. I appreciate it. Have a great one.
You too. Thanks for listening to Nifty Gadgets for Family Bikers. You can find links to the gadgets in our show notes or at the website www.niftygadgetsforfamilybikers.com. Please share the podcast with other bikers and review the podcast when you have a minute. See you soon.